We continue our learning. Let you learn Ishmael, Stavi, Ben Menachem, Rosh, and Chaim Yaakov, and Pinchas Leo. We're in Ksuvos, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Test. Hoysom Uberes. This is an addition to the previous Mishnah. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us that according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, that the woman is ne'emenes. Remember, they are always hold against Rabbi Yeshua that the woman is ne'emenes on her kashrus to marry a kohen. So the chiddush here is not only in the previous Mishnah, where if you remember Ra'uha Midaberes, they saw her that she was speaking, which meant she secluded herself with this other man, and we want to know what his status is. Maybe he's a nusin, maybe he's a mamzer, and we believe her to say la kohen that he's a kosher person. Here she's pregnant, so we know obviously she was intimate with a man. We just don't know who the father is. So the chiddush here obviously is that even here Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer will say she's ne'emenes. There's another chiddush though. If let's say she has a daughter, so the daughter also is going to be ksher l'kohuna according to their opinion when the mishnah says ne'emenes. So that's the case here. Harsim uberes, you have an unmarried woman who is pregnant. We don't know from whom. V'amulamativo shil uber. They said, what is the nature of this uber, of the fetus? Meaning, is the father of this child someone who would disqualify you or the daughter from marrying a kohen? So she says, "May ish ploni v'kohenu." No, the father is this person by so-and-so and is a kohen. And therefore I should be able to marry Kohen and the child as well. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omim Ne'emenes, even in this case, even though she's pregnant in this case, not just she had Yichud, she and the daughter can marry Kohenim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Lomi Pia Anu Chayin, we don't live by her words once again, we don't believe her. Elaharezo Becheskas Meuberes Lenasin Mul Mamzer, we have to suspect that maybe she's pregnant from a Nasin or Mamzer, and which this would be a man who would disqualify her and her daughter from marrying a kohen, achatavi ra'il advara, until she proves her words. Now the halacha in this case and the previous case is like Rabbi Gamliel. So therefore, the mother and the daughter are allowed to marry a kohen. A difference regarding Yerusha, though, if she's not believed to say, oh, you know, she's able, the child should be able to inherit this father, we need to know who the father is. And then when it comes to Yerusha, we would allow this. Now, these women, though, still shouldn't marry kohenim unless we have all of the conditions in the next Mishnah are going to be met. We're going to see that the people of the city also have to be of proper lineage. But if she's already married to a kohen, she can stay married to that person, that kohen. Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maisa b'tinokes sheyardo lamalos mayim min ha'ayin v'nensa. There was a case where Rabbi where a tinokes, a young girl, went down to the spring to draw water, and nensa, she was raped, she was violated. So now we want to know what's her status? What is this man? Is this man someone who would disqualify her from marrying Cohen? Yes, she was violated. It's true, she's a victim, but nonetheless, that potentially could make her prohibited to marry a Cohen, depending on who this man was. Maybe he was a mamzer, maybe he was a nussin. So how do we treat this case? Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we don't know who the man was. We follow what apparently is the rov. Im rov anshei ha'ir masiyin lakahuna, if most of the men in the city are of good lineage, where potentially if she had relations with them, they would be she would be able to marry a kohen. So then harezo tinase lakuna. Then she's not disqualified from marrying a kohen because most of the people in the city, would not disqualify her from marrying a kohen. Now it seems to be pretty simple following the rov. But the Gemara says, not so fast. The Gemara says the following, Bikronos shel tzipore haya maase. This story took place, this Masa Bitinokas took place in the Kronos, the caravans of Tzipori, which is Tzipori, you know, the famous city Tzipori in Eretz Israel, not far from Tiberia, on the Yom HaShuk, on the day of the marketplace, where there were caravans of people coming from other cities as well. So what that means is that here we're not talking about just the people of the city, although it doesn't say this. Here it says, Imron van Sheha'ir Masin Lakahuna. Most of the people in the city would not pass her to Kahuna with their Bia, so then she could marry a Kohen. So it's not so simple. We're talking about a case where there were people traveling in as well. So now that's the case. Maybe she was raped by someone who came in on the market day and not from someone from the city. So most of the people in the city being Kasher Lakahuna were may not make a difference. And the Gemara therefore says, "V'hu shahaisa siya shel bnei adam ksherim ovrim l'sham." Meaning that group of people who came from other places, from the caravans, it's where they were kosher people passing through. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri said, if most of the people in the city can marry kahuna, and that we could assume who the father of this child is, so then Harezot, that's what we can assume had relations rather with this young girl, so who raped this young girl, so then she can marry a kohen. But that includes not only Rov Anshei Ha'ir, but Rov Sia as well. Most of the people traveling through also. We need a double rov. It has to be Rov Anshei Ha'ir and Rov Sia. And why are we so strict here? So we wouldn't do this in other cases. So there obviously is a concern. The Gemara wonders, right, I have a rov. Why one rov should be sufficient? Why do I have two? So the Gemara ends up saying, Male Asu Beyuchsin. What does that mean? That this is a greater stringency that we have when it comes to lineage. In many cases, when it comes to lineage, we're more strict, and this is one of those examples where we will require a double row. But it's really even more complicated than that. There is an important principle that we have when it comes to row, and that is kol kavua kemechta al mechta dami. Something that is permanent, that fixed in place, we don't treat based on majority. It's considered 50-50. So let's take the classic example of this, and we'll try to apply it to this Mishnah. You have a case where you find a piece of meat in the parking lot of many butcher shops. And there are 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop. So the halacha is that I find it, the piece of meat in the parking lot, I can't identify it. Halacha is I can follow the rov. There are 9 kosher butcher shops, so a probability is that this is a kosher piece of meat, and the halacha is based on rov, I'm allowed to eat it. That's what we call nimtza. I found it. But if it's not nimtza, if you're going to tell me I can't, that, but rather, not that I found it in the parking lot, I walked into one of the stores and I bought a piece of meat. Now I come out, I say, oh, I don't remember, did I walk into a kosher store or did I walk into a non-kosher store? So what I say, well, the probability is I walked into a kosher store, I'm allowed to eat the meat. The answer is no, because that's what we call kavua. That is in place. The meat was in the normal place where it is, the butcher shop. It wasn't that I found it, nimsa, I found it somewhere. No, it was in the butcher shop where it belongs. There, we don't follow rov. We say kol kavua, anything in its fixed place is kemechza mechzadami, it's 50-50, and by doraisa we have to be strict, savik doraisa luchoma. Take our case over here. Here we have a case where, let's say this girl says that this girl was raped by this particular man. So we say, oh, well, the man what is he? Is he kavua? Is he permanent? Is he considered nimtza that he's found? How do we treat this? So the Gemara says, this is an example of where we would say, oh, it must be that the man, what happened? The man was in, we had this Siyoshal B'nai Adam, this group of people from the caravans, and the person who raped her, we assume the Gemara says, well, the Ma'anes was from this caravan, but he went towards her. He met her by the Ayin, by the spring, and therefore he was moving. He was not Kavua, and because of that, so now, it's not like the girl went to the man where he was Kavua. The man, we want to know the status of the man. The man is like the meat. Well, I don't know, is his status, is he Kasha Lakuna? Is he not Kasha? Is he a mamzer or not? So his status depends on whether he's kavua or he's nimtza or he's moving. So here, he's not kavua. He's the one who came out of the caravan to the woman, to the girl. So now, since it's he's not kavua, we don't have to treat it like 50-50. We can follow the majority. And the majority, indeed, of these men who are on this caravan are kasha l'kahuna, who are coming from on the Yom HaShuk. So that being the case, we go back to us. So I guess I can follow the rov, I should be able to follow the rov. But nonetheless, the Chachamim were afraid that, let's say most of the people on the caravan were not kosher lakuna. We're afraid that people may think, oh, it doesn't matter about those men because most of the people in this city are kosher lakuna, so we don't have to worry. Because of that concern, the Chachamim, Mala Asu B'Yuchsin, the Chachamim were strict and said, even though this can be treated as a classic rov, because the person was moving, he was not stationary. Nonetheless, because you may could be concerned concerned about, make you may hear you have a case where there are people in the city. You may, she may think, oh, I can take into account the people of the city. The man maybe have come from the city, and I would, and even if the people in the caravan are a non-kosher, don't worry about it. I can follow the majority of the people in the city. Therefore, we're going to be strict and require both roves. Rove the people in the city have to be kosher lakuna, and rove of the people on this caravan kosher lakuna as well.